It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In Romans chapter 1, at verse 7, we see those in Rome who have experienced grace and peace from God. And we'll read some other verses in connection with this. But Romans chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God." Now, this is Paul the Apostle speaking to those people in Rome. He says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." They were saved. They were on their way to heaven. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, the recipients of Paul's letter were the Romans. These were Roman believers. He says in that verse, in verse 7, "Beloved of God." They are called to be saints. In other words, people who are set apart and separated from sin and separated unto the service of Christ. This doesn't mean that God chose certain individuals to be saved and certain people to be lost. This means that after they were saved, they were called to be saints. In other words, to live godly, holy lives set apart for the work of God. Every believer is a saint, but sometimes believers do not live very saintly. We keep reading here in Romans chapter 1 and verses 8 and 10. It says, "First, I thank my God." This is Paul speaking. "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." But we see here in this prayer that Paul prayed in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 and 8 through 10, I see eight admonitions here concerning prayer. First of all, I believe that according to those verses that we've read, Paul should, or prayer should include thanksgiving, according to verse 8. And then prayer must be through Jesus Christ. And this is verse 8. And we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Prayer must be through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through some man who sets himself up to be God on this earth, not through some man who sits in a little booth that people go in and confess sin to, but we must pray through the Lord Jesus Christ, not to a man, but through and by the Son of God, the one who gave his life for us, that one day we're going to see him personally. Because he died on the cross of Calvary, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And because he rose, so will we who name him as our Lord and Savior. Well, notice that prayer should include thanksgiving and must be through Jesus Christ, but prayer should also be genuine. Now, God was Paul's witness. According to verse 9, Paul was not just pretending to be a man of prayer. Paul knew that his prayer life was genuine, and he knew that God knew it. Also, Paul should, I keep saying Paul because Paul wrote this epistle on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but prayer should be constant. And we see that in verse 9. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us that we are to pray without ceasing. You can pray without closing your eyes. You can be in prayer every moment of your life that you're awake. You can be praying to the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer should involve intercession, according to verse 9. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Paul faithfully obeyed the command found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Now, he wrote down those words that God had given him, that God wanted in his scripture, in the book that he's given us, the King James Bible. God wanted Paul to write that down, but Paul was faithful. he faithfully obeyed what had been written there God had given him to write down. Prayer should be specific, according to verse 10 of Romans chapter 1. Paul made a specific prayer request. He prayed for a prosperous journey. Now, there's no detail in life that is so trivial that we cannot make it a matter of prayer. If God is concerned about feeding the sparrows and about clothing the lily, then he certainly is concerned about the needs we have. Prayer should also be submissive, according to verse 10. Note these words there, by the will of God. Paul did not demand of God or order God or dictate to God what he wanted. He simply made a request and wanted the request granted only if it was the will of God. You and I need to pray, and some people get really upset when the prayer doesn't seem to get answered. But we need to be praying in the will of God. When we pray in God's will, when we're close to the Lord, we're going to pray in a right way, a right submissive way, submissive to God, that His will would be done. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, it says this, Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Well, prayer should also be rightly motivated, according to these two verses that I've read, 11 and 12. Paul was motivated. He wanted to do God's will. Verse 10 tells us that. He wanted to establish, or in other words, strengthen, to confirm the Roman believers on the rock, Christ Jesus, according to verse 11. And he wanted to comfort and encourage those believers as well as be comforted and encouraged by them, verse 12. And Paul's reasons were good reasons. He was concerned for the glory of God and for the good of others. You and I need to be concerned with others. We need to go forth and spread the word of God. The Bible says and tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, that we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you, we be reconciled to God, the Bible says there, that we are to go forth and give out the word of God, that other individuals can be joined to the Lord Jesus Christ and become one in the Lord. You see, when they become one with the Lord, we're all together. We become one in the family of God. Everybody who names Jesus Christ as Savior, they are a part of the family of God. But there's such a thing today that people believe simply because they're born into this world that they are Christian, that they are on their way to heaven. They have to do nothing in order to go to heaven. Well, that's partly true. The Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His grace that He saves us. The Bible teaches us that not all people are Christians. Not all people are saved and on their way to heaven. It must be through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It goes on to say, "For whosoever," in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now that word "whosoever" means everybody. That means you, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever, you, call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Calling upon the name of the Lord means that you're trusting Him to go to heaven. You're tired of going your way, and you know that your way leads to hell because you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, in the book of Acts, Paul the Apostle and Silas were in jail. They were there, and the Bible tells us that they were singing praises unto God. They were praying, and they were rejoicing. Now, these men, they were in chains. They were behind bars. But yet, they were singing praises to God. And I believe as they were singing and they prayed, I believe that those other prisoners around, I believe there were many of them who had gotten saved because of the witness of Paul and Silas in that jail in Philippi. Now, something happened. The Bible says that they prayed and the doors flew open. The doors opened. The Philippian jailer rushed in. He heard the noise. He came in, and he was going to kill himself because he would have been killed anyway had the prisoners escaped. But Paul and Silas, they said, "Do thyself no harm. We're all still here." And the Philippian jailer looked around, and he saw that no one had escaped. They were all still there. And he noticed something about Paul and Silas, that there was something different. He noticed that they had something that he needed. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Well, their answer was the same one that we need to be giving out to those people around us who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Paul and Silas said to that Philippian jailer, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now, that doesn't mean that just because one person gets saved, that their whole house is going to be saved. That means that gives them an opportunity to hear the word of God from the person who got saved in their house. They will give the word of God. Now, I believe that all the people in this jailer's house got saved because he brought them out and he fed them and he took care of them. It doesn't mean they got out of jail immediately. That means that he took care of them. He treated them fine. And this is because when God saves a person, he puts within them a new heart. He puts within that person an understanding that we need to help each other. And the first thing we need to help each other with is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, I believe that we need to feed the poor and help the hungry and all of that. After they get fed, we need to give them the gospel. They need to hear that Jesus saves, and he wants every individual in this world, no matter who they are, he wants them to be saved and on their way to heaven. Now, the Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he got the answer from Paul and Silas. And I wonder today, you as a saved person, you who have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm speaking to you. If someone asked you, if they said, "What must I do to be saved?" I wonder what answer you would give them. The Bible tells us that, once again, that to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. But could you go into the book? Could you go in and tell people that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Let a person realize that they're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the wages of sin is death. Every person who does not trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior right now would go in immediately to the realms of hell to be tormented forever and ever. Oh, it's only a holding cell. We look at that as a jail, as a holding cell. Because later on, that person who has not trusted Jesus Christ and they die right now, they go to hell. But later on, they will stand at the white throne to be judged, to be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says that death and hell will be cast in there, and all those who do not believe Jesus Christ was the Savior, they'll be cast into the lake of fire because they've never trusted him as Lord and Savior. Jesus will say to them at the white throne, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." What a sad place to be. What a sad place to be tormented over and over and over, never ending, in the lake of fire. This is the second death, for all of those who are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you must receive Jesus Christ the Lamb as your Lord and Savior. Bow your head and ask him to save you. You're sorry for your sin. You can't save yourself, and you're going to go his way now, and that way leads to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.